Campus FM presents Talking Heads Season 3, brought to you by students of the International Master in Adult Education for Social Change.
In learning, you will teach, and in teaching, you will learn. Phil Collins.
Right, good day. Welcome to Talking Eds, the third edition. My name is Solace Rose Quartem, and today I'll be hosting together with my colleagues, Madi Carmen and Nga.
Hello, Solace, and hello to our audience. My name is Mary, yeah, and I'm happy to be here with you today. Thanks for joining us.
Good pronunciation there. One of the few to get my name right. Good morning, everyone that's Nga from Vietnam. It's a pleasure to be here today,
right,
especially for today's topic, yeah.
Definitely that. Well, it's a pleasure to be here as well. And as you could notice today, we started our program with a Phil Collins quote, which says, "In learning, you will teach, and in teaching, you will learn." And we also decided to start like this, you know, because today we will be talking about how teachers can mark our lives for good and bad. Right, Maddie Cummins?
That's right. So, Lance, as students, we all have different experiences about good and bad teachers. And many times, because of those experiences, people get inspired and keep studying throughout their lives. Mm-hmm. However, because of a bad teaching experience, people can stop their pursuit of learning, which must be a tragedy, not just for teachers, but for everybody.
And right, for this reason, today we're going to be having with us in the studio many guests to share with us their knowledge and experiences regarding this topic. We'll start with the opinion of a professor from the University of Malta, right, Solace?
Definitely that. Today we have the pleasure to have with us once again, he's back.
Okay.
Professor Carmel Borch. As we mentioned in our first episode, he's a former head of department and ex-dean and currently an associate professor all in the Department of Education Studies at the Faculty of Education, the University of Malta. Once again, welcome, Professor Carmel Borch.
Welcome, Solace.
All right. Thank you very much for being here with us. So we're going to be in your territory once again.
All right.
This is more, a bit more hands-on,
yeah,
if I should put
sure
it that way. We're talking about teachers and the experiences,
great,
and the impact they have on your students.
Oh, definitely.
Right. So basically teacher-student relationships.
Right.
Now, let's dive first into this. There's much to be said about a good teacher. I mean,
yeah,
there are awards, community, national, international awards,
mm-hmm,
for good teachers.
Right.
But the question is, who really is a good teacher? And from which perspective, yeah, do we judge a good teacher? Is it,
great,
from the institutional perspective or the student's perspective?
Right. I would say the student's perspective, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about characteristics of a good teacher, of a good educator. So I would say one important characteristic would be deep knowledge and passion for the subject matter, what, you know, Paulo Freire would refer to as scientific competence. I believe that it's through scientific competence that, you know, a good teacher would establish his or her authoritativeness, you know. So that is very important, deep knowledge of the subject, scientific competence, but also passion, you know, passion for the subject, but also passion in the way you exchange knowledge, in the way you transmit knowledge, in the way you co-produce knowledge, etc. And I believe that passion is infectious. So if you have passion, if you transmit passion, that becomes infectious. So that's one important characteristic. Of course, if you are passionate, you are always prepared, always organized, and you have a strong work ethic. And these are three characteristics that feed into this word passion. Then obviously the importance of building caring relationships. I give a lot of importance not only to the physical environment, but also to the emotional environment, the emotional backdrop to the teaching and learning process. By caring relationship, I mean basically an emotional environment which is secure, which is safe, which transmits positiveness, positive energy. Then you have good communication skills. A good educator is one who really communicates well with his or her students. Communication skills not only verbally, but also the full use of the body language, facial expressions, and the whole body. Obviously, a good educator is a good communicator, but also a good listener. Mm. So a good educator is one who listens to what, you know, students have to say, mm, because obviously we need to move away from just transmission into a dialogical relationship with our students. And you cannot establish a good dialogical relationship without these good listening skills. A good educator is also a networker, one who likes to, work with others, one who likes to interact with others, and therefore one who likes to socialize with others, and therefore because he's good at, in terms of networking, he's an inclusive educator, he's an educator for diversity.
Now, how do you, as an educator, create or develop a cordial interactive relationship based on mutual trust and respect without losing control of your students?
Okay, as I said, if you are competent, if you have deep knowledge, you establish that authoritativeness. So your self-confidence comes from this self-awareness that you are a competent, a teacher, a well-organized teacher, a teacher with a strong ethic. So the best teachers, as far as I'm concerned, given my, obviously, biography, are often the ones that care the most deeply, not only about their jobs, their careers, but about every student they serve. I would dare say, that caring teachers are teachers who really love deeply, who are in love not only with themselves, with their career, with their job, with the subject, but also in love with the students. By love, I mean caring about the students. Basically means educators who respect, the students, who want to communicate more, who want to do better, who want to improve, who want to reach out, who want to learn about, about the students, who want to refine, etc., etc. But caring also means that, educators want to move away from simply being, the beginning and all of, the education experience, and moving into a situation where they care enough about the students that they want to listen to their students and they want to enter in a dialogical relationship with the students and basically co-produce and co-discover and co-inquire with the students rather than dishing out information into the student's mind.
I mean, with the picture that you're painting right now, it sounds very idealistic because from a perspective of knowing that students are not all the same. They might come from different backgrounds, different learning orientations. And with the what you've presented, it might be for people who are used to that kind of communicative, dialogical relationship.
Right.
So how do you, as an educator, consider those things as well and create some sort of a balance? Because not every student will be appreciative or welcoming of such an approach.
This is a very interesting question, and a question that I had to confront in my, biography, narrative story as an educator. What I try to do is address the word that you mentioned, balance. So if you have, a situation where you have, students coming from different, not only cultures, but also different pedagogical traditions, you try to strike a balance between transmission, and obviously that's where your deep knowledge comes in, and the dialogical approach, and wait for the possibility that, students coming from a pedagogical tradition feel safe enough and secure enough to open up to the possibility of a dialogical approach, to education, that I've been a model in this sense.
Well, any final words about teaching just before we wrap up?
Well, teaching is a commitment, and commitment means that you are there to serve.
Wow, definitely there to serve. And I'm definitely here to serve you along with my colleagues. And we've just had in studio Professor Carmel Borge. And we've been talking about who a good teacher is. And he's dropped some interesting points. I would like to know what you think about it when we come back. Thank you very much, Professor.
Thank you.
So now I have the pleasure to welcome one of our colleagues from the IMASC program, Richard Aboaji from Accra, Ghana. Richard previously majored in business administration, as well as adult education and human resources back in Ghana. He never studied abroad before coming to Europe to join us in this master. Welcome, our dear friend, Richard.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure being here.
Thank you for agreeing to be here today. Richard, this is probably a very predictable question for the day, but can you please tell me about the best teacher that you've ever had?
That'll be my mom. She is like the best teacher I ever had, maybe followed by my economics teacher in secondary school. Miss Salido, yeah.
Right. I'm also just curious regarding your previous experiences. Why did you make the jump from business administration in secondary school, right, to adult education in college? Was it by chance or was it because of experiences that you had, say, you know, some teacher that changed your path, like the topic of the day suggests?
So, yes, definitely. Like I said, I was kind of like influenced by my mom and my teacher in secondary school. So I'm going to talk about the very, very, like a turning point in my secondary school education. I remember Alidu, he was teaching us economics, but like, he used to talk about, you know, many years of teaching, and his previous students always coming up to him and they go like, yeah, you really changed my life. Like, I really remember, you know, the way you taught us. And according to him, that really made him happy. And I was very fulfilling. And I remember back then I wanted to be an accountant, and I saw the joy on his face, you know, the happiness with which he said that. I went like, okay, teaching actually, you know, it gives the happiness. And I kind of knew from that moment that I wanted to be a teacher. But I still went on to finish, you know, my business program. And then I thought of doing business in college until I met someone who was talking about adult education. I didn't know anything about adult education back then. And I kind of like, you know, grew into it. And drawing back from experiences from how my mom raised me also, she raised us to be very gender sensitive. So
I see.
Yeah, I kind of like, yeah, I think it all came to play in my decision to do adult education.
Sort of led you into this path.
Exactly.
From a very young age, sort of.
Exactly, yeah.
A few turns here and there, but still onto the right path, yeah?
It wasn't an easy decision because, you know, business is like, everyone tells you you're going to make money out of it. So and adult education is like, okay, maybe.
Maybe, we'll see. So I suppose it's not just teachers, right? Not just with job titles that are able to create life-changing, remarkable teaching or educational experiences. Would you then say that the role of teachers is redundant?
No, I wouldn't say that at all. We all learn from people who are not even teachers, yes, but then we still need people who have, you know, studied the skills on how to, I think, to teach, to transfer knowledge. I think there are some people who definitely need some specific kind of knowledge, and we need teachers to do that. We can't always rely on informal ways of learning. Like I said, I drew on maybe the experiences or what Alidu said, I mean, my teacher said back then, but then not everybody has those moments. And sometimes we need intentional learning, and teachers are there to do that. So I don't think it's the role of teachers are redundant at all.
I see, I see. And I guess that's why right now you're studying adult education for social change.
Sure.
How do you suppose that we as adult educators or educators in general can potentially facilitate such experiences that can change and transform, you know?
Yes, I think it's one thing for sure. It's always have that humanistic element in your teaching. Something that people can relate to, something that people can, you know, it can touch them, their hearts. It's like, for instance, we were studying economics. We were studying for work, for jobs. But then just that moment where my secondary school teacher, Alidu, said that, you know, he loved teaching because of this, it was very humanistic. I could relate to it. So I think as adult educators, in as much as we are transferring skills, maybe attitudes, knowledge, we should always have that element that people can connect to.
Thank you, Richard. That was a very pleasant interaction.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Have in the studio two more students who will talk to us about their experiences with memorable teachers. Let's start with Rita Nasir, who is a 25-year-old student coming from Pakistan. Rita did a BSc honors in anthropology and sociology in Lahore University of Management Sciences, LAMS, a private and very prestigious university in Pakistan. Thanks, Rita, and welcome for being here. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
We are excited for you as well. And together with us in the studio today is also Milton Resendez Vera, who, as you can remember, is one of our co-producers. He has appeared in the show in previous episodes. For the ones that have not heard of him, Milton is a 26-year-old Mexican student who lived in the USA for more than 10 years and who also has worked as an English teacher in Mexico. Thanks for being here, Milton.
I'm very happy to be here. This is a very interesting topic, so I'm very happy to be here.
So let's start. Obviously, every culture and country is different. Educative systems and goals also differ. On this, after studying in Pakistan and then in Scotland, what is the biggest difference you have seen in how teachers work, Rita?
Honestly, when I came here, I did expect a lot of differences, but in terms of the pedagogy of the teachers, there wasn't much, and I was pretty happy about that.
Oh.
However, in Scotland, I do feel like teachers did go like a mile further to make sure that the students felt safer in the classroom, and I felt that was so much more important and was given importance as compared to how it is treated in Pakistan. So for instance, back in Glasgow, there was an incident in one of the seminars in which one of the seminar leaders actually made a comment about where I come from, and I felt pretty targeted and isolated, and it kept bothering me, and I had a discussion with my friends about it, who then suggested that I talk to my course coordinator, and I was hesitant because in Pakistan, like going to a teacher to talk about something that's sort of personal is not considered very helpful because the help and the response that you get is not really going to take you somewhere or it's not going to lead towards a very productive result. However, I did decide because it kept bothering me and I was going to be in that seminar for the entire semester. So my course coordinator was very empathetic, and I was so glad that I talked to her because a few weeks down the road, she actually sent me an email and asked me how was I doing. And I felt so connected at that moment, and I thought it was the best decision that I made at that point because I wanted to be comfortable in that seminar, and she made sure I was.
So you felt like better back in Scotland because of the way teachers start to support you in
that
situation.
Definitely, and the fact that we have a voice, and a voice is important and can be heard. And that sense of belonging that I got in that community was so important.
Something that in Pakistan was not that common, as you said.
Yes, because of the bureaucratic system that's involved in the education institutes, it's sort of you're sent from one office to another, from one person to another, and that just starts a cycle. So it's hard to like get something productive out of those complaints that you make.
Well, I see. That's very important, I think, for adult educators and for students as well to know that we have the entitlement to go and ask for support if we face some struggles with teachers. Thank you, Rita, for that. Now, Milton, surely education is different in Mexico compared to the United States. After studying in both countries, which one would you say inspired you the most to become a teacher and why?
Well, I would say that both really influenced me a lot. I think the time I spent in the U.S., I was in both, I mean, it was elementary, middle school, and high school, so basically all my formative years. And I had some very excellent teachers who, like Rita was saying, they really cared about what you said. It was very interesting because there was the topic, but they wouldn't focus exclusively on the topic. They would focus on everything around the topic that's very important. My time studying in Mexico, I studied university, I studied psychology. And I would say most of the time the focus was actually just on the topic, you know, the material that we had to cover. And very often, you know, there was, in the U.S., there was always this very strong respect from between, like, teacher and student, which I felt was very lacking when I was in Mexico. Your grades were really not always dependent on your merits. They were very often dependent on whether the teacher liked you. And honestly, I mean, I'm very happy that I was a guy because I never had to face any sexual harassment from teachers. But I mean, that's something that, like, we had to deal with. Sexual harassment from teachers to students was something that happened very often. So, I mean, I'm not going to say every single teacher in Mexico is that bad. I had excellent, excellent teachers in Mexico, too. But I would definitely say that I felt much safer and more comfortable when I was studying in the U.S. than when I was in Mexico.
I see. We're talking a lot about teachers, the experiences that students have with teachers and how they're inspired by the teachers here. But what about the other way around? Do you feel like students have the ability to inspire teachers as well, Rita?
Definitely. So even though I never worked as a teacher, I was working in a school as a student counselor. So I was interacting with students on a daily basis, and I remember very well that there was this one student, and he was around 17 and 18 years old, and that was around the time when I actually decided to pursue my higher studies, and I had announced in the school that I was going to leave. And that was when I actually got a letter from that student, and reading that letter sort of helped me reflect on my experience and my interaction with the students. And I very strongly feel that students do inspire teachers, because he told me in that handwritten letter, which was so heart-touching, that he had been bullied the entire time he was in the school, and since he had changed schools and he had joined like a year before I came to that school. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he was bullied and the fact that he had such low self-esteem actually was actually affecting his future goals, and he was really struggling to find out what he wanted to do in the future. And the fact that I was just there to listen to what he had to say, he used to make videos, and I would see those videos and compliment his creativity through those videos. He actually felt really good about himself, and he found a niche that he was good at, and that's how he felt motivated. And the only way that I was able to help him was to listen to him. So that really inspired me, especially because it was so brave of him to actually confess all his weaknesses with the teacher. And the fact that that gave me motivation to actually involve that practice of listening more in my future practices, it's really pushed me. And that's something that I always keep at the back of my mind, because that's so important.
Mm-hmm. So it's always about, I guess, mutual, that mutual connection is not just a one-way street, right?
Yes.
How about your experiences with students, Milton? Have you ever been challenged?
Ooh, challenged.
In the position as a teacher.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, I've been a teacher for about 3 years, probably a little more. And I mean, I think just the word challenge is a little, I don't know, it feels kind of like confrontational. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I kind of take it more as like Rita was saying, it's more inspirational. I actually tell my students, you know, guys, I'm good at English, you know, I'm going to teach you guys English, but you guys are excellent at many other things. You guys probably know more about many other things than I do.
Mm-hmm.
So never feel like this knowledge that you have is not worth anything just because you don't know English. You know, we're here to learn English, but everything else around it is extremely important. So I would say that I have been challenged, but I love it. I want to be challenged. I actually tell my students, you know what? If there's something that you think that I'm doing wrong, you know, go ahead and tell me, because we're all here to learn. We're all here to improve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very interesting indeed. And that's true. That's very important for students, I believe. Now, Rita, what is something you might say teachers still need to work on a little bit more? I mean, is there something in particular you are still missing from teachers in general?
Yeah, I feel like the increasing specialization in this particular department has sort of made educational experience less human.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that the teachers just come to class, deliver the lectures and leave, sort of prevent the students from making connections, A, with other subjects, and B, with the world that they're living in.
Mm-hmm.
So like the fact that it's so important for the students to experience the holistic education, the experience of making connections with their daily lives, with what they're studying, is so important. And also sometimes I feel that teachers do notice sort of disparities that exist within the classroom environment, but they're hesitant to take actions because they're like, hey, that's not our duty. That's not our responsibility. Mm-hmm. We're hired to do a particular job. You're doing it. And that's it. But I think if they intervene that, like, let's say if they intervene and they prevent bullying, or they prevent, or they ensure that there is a safety net that's developed and there's a safe environment that's developed, that students feel that it's okay to approach the teachers and talk about the problems that they're facing, I feel like that security would really improve the atmosphere of the class in general. And I feel like teachers can work on that.
Yeah.
All right. To conclude, Milton, is there anything you have learned that you would like to include in your future teaching?
I'm sure you guys know about like what we say like about mama bears, right? And how they take care of their cubs.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
that's essentially like when I teach, I always see my students as, you know, people who need inspiration, they need protection, and they need not just the material that we're covering, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like how Rita was saying, it is connecting it to the outside world. It's like what Richard was saying, it's about passion, it's about heart. If you have all of this and you really feel that you can really care about people, then you will always be like a good teacher, because this passion to do well, to help other people, is definitely going to be there. And always leave yourself open to learn from your students and, you know, you're the teacher, but you're also a student.
Yeah, that's right. And indeed, we're going to talk a bit about passion later. So thank you so much, guys. That was amazing. We really appreciate your participation. Thanks, Richard, Milton, and Rita. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Welcome back, and we've been talking to some of our colleagues, and we've also spoken with Professor Borge, and I think it's safe to sum up the qualities of, let's say, a good teacher into like five categories, should I say, Mary?
Yes, yes, indeed, we have five categories. Let's start with the number one. It is teachers inspire passion for their subject. Even if at the beginning we hate maths or literature or physics or chemistry or whatever, an inspiring teaching has the power to make us love them thanks to their passion and quality when explaining the class. Number two, Nuck.
Right. Teachers facilitate personal growth and build upon self-esteem. Of course, inspiring teachers don't bully you, obviously. They help you to discover your talents and work on your opportunity areas.
All right, so number three would be that teachers make learning fun and accessible. Now, this is not because, like, you have to read a lot on particular subjects, because that can get boring. It's more of inspiring everyone to participate in the learning process.
Yeah, true. Number four, teachers need to be approachable, fair, and helpful, especially when teachers notice we are shy and feel scared of asking something because of previous bad experiences. They must encourage students to raise their voices and ask when necessary.
The last and final quality, a great teacher never stops learning. Teachers must recognize that they do not know everything, so they can allow themselves to ask for help when needed. In this way, they inspire the students to foster a lifelong learning attitude and philosophy.
I definitely agree with that. And to basically sum it up, it is safe to say that teachers do leave something. They leave an impact, more often than not indelible, whether it's negative or positive. And therefore, as a teacher, you have to please pay attention to what your students need and ask yourself, am I really helping them to become better? And if you're a student, please do not doubt and tell your teacher whatever you need to learn better. Just speak up, tell them what you need, and that will help him or her, that's your teacher, to improve his or her teaching skills and techniques and help you better. Well, that's how we wrap up today. Thanks so much for being with us, for staying with us throughout the entire episode. Please join us in our next episode and the coming ones as well. My name is Solis Rose Quartet. Have a good day.